So we've reached week three of our series, looking at what it means to become disciples of Jesus. We've been exploring this open invitation from Jesus to live as his disciples, as his students, or the word that we've chosen to use really is to live as his apprentices, following him with our whole lives. And we looked at the fact that this means ordering our lives around four goals. And these goals of a disciple of Jesus are that we learn to be with him, we learn his teachings, we learn to become like Jesus and to carry on his work in the world. And together we've said that these goals help us to orientate and reorientate ourselves to Jesus. You see, what happens in our world is that we seek to follow him and to be a disciple of Jesus, but then life happens, doesn't it? And different things happen in our lives, and sometimes they cause us to wobble a little bit, or they put us in a spin. It was interesting last week just talking to a number of people who said that the events, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, have caused them to wobble, caused them to kind of spin a little bit. To wonder where Jesus is in all of that situation. Things like that happen. But these four goals help us to orientate ourselves back to Jesus. Even if we're spinning, even if we're wobbling a bit. And we've found this image of a compass really helpful in that. That as we practice the presence of God, as we take intentional steps towards keeping Jesus in front of us, that's what these four goals do. We will soon find ourselves coming back to him, just as the needle of a compass constantly looks for north. And we said that Jesus is like our north. He's our pole star. He's the one that we keep coming back to. So today we're going to look at the third goal of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We're going to think about becoming like Jesus. Now, last week, one of the parables that we looked at in Luke chapter 6 was this very short one at the start. And it says this. Jesus says to his followers, he said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will become like their teacher." You know, last week we said, you know, Jesus' answer to that was, well, the blind can't lead the blind. And of course they can't. They're going to lead each other into a pit. And there he was pointing the finger at the alternative teachers of the day, the Pharisees, saying they're spiritually blind. You can follow them, but they're not going to lead you into a good place. But the other thing that we see in this parable is the whole point of apprenticeship is to become like the teacher or the rabbi. You know, it says here, anyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. So as we seek to be Jesus' apprentices, the goal of it is to become like him. But the other thing that this really short little parable shows us is that it takes training to become an apprentice of Jesus, to become like him. Everyone who is, it says, fully trained. In other words, it doesn't just happen to us. It's not like overnight, I've become like Jesus. It requires training. And for us, that means a radical overhaul of who we are from the inside out. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about becoming like Jesus as one of his disciples, if that's my goal, I think, gracious, how do I do that? Maybe that's just me. I suspect not. I suspect lots of you are thinking that. It requires a radical overhaul. You know, the word for this overhaul in the New Testament is transformation. It says this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." And that word there that is used, transformed, in the original Greek that Paul would have written in, is this Greek word, metamorphosis. And today we use that same word as metamorphosis. That's the kind of transformation that Paul is talking about here, that we are being transformed. We are having a metamorphosis into the likeness of Jesus, that is possible as followers of him. Now that word metamorphosis is, you know, we think about it when we describe what happens to a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. That radical, complete, unrecognizable transformation that takes place. That's the kind of change the New Testament promises, that we can become like Jesus in the same way that a caterpillar changes into a pupa and then the pupa turns into the butterfly. That can happen for you and I. We are being transformed. But I wonder whether we think that's even possible at all. You know, as you sit listening to this or watching this, maybe you're thinking, well, what about me? Because I've carried these hurts in my life. I carry this baggage in my life. I've got these habits and addictions. I've got stuff that's been done to me over the years. Really, can I change? Can I become like Jesus? Well, it is possible, but it takes time. It happens in stages. I find that verse in 2 Corinthians 3 so encouraging, because it says we are being transformed. Not we are transformed, but we are being. There's a process involved in that. Just as the caterpillar has a process to become the butterfly, I think more often than not in our lives, there's a process through time that takes place. So the first thing, to become like Jesus, the first stage means that we have to choose to follow him first. Now in Matthew 4, there are these great passages of Jesus calling his first disciples, and these guys who were fishing on Lake Galilee who put down their nets and they immediately choose to follow him. The first thing, if we want to become like Jesus, is that we need to choose, just as these men did, to follow him. I wonder whether you've done that. Have you made a conscious decision to follow Jesus? It means realizing that he's a teacher that is worth following, that he's full of wisdom, that he's full of truth, that he's a man we want to follow. But beyond that, it's saying he's not just the teacher, he's the Son of God. He's our Saviour. That he's worth leaving everything behind so that we can follow him. You know, Jesus tells a parable in the Gospels called the Pearl of Great Price, about a merchant, a rich man who sees a pearl for sale and he sells everything he has, just so he can own that pearl. Now, when we choose to follow Jesus, it's similar. It's saying, that man, that teacher, that rabbi, the Son of God, my Saviour, he's worth everything. I'll give up everything, just as these men did. Now look at those words there. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Immediately they left the boat and their father and they followed him. If we want to become like Jesus, we need to make that choice to do it. Have you done that? Do it now. Do it immediately. Do it at once. Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. We choose to follow him first. We then choose to resist the culture around us. In Romans 12 verse 2, Paul writes these words and he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. In the Message translation of the Bible, it puts it this way, the same verse, it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Now, what this verse tells us is that we're all being transformed, we're all being formed, whether we like it or not, by the world, by the culture around us. You see, the truth is, discipleship isn't a uniquely Christian experience, it's a human experience. We're all disciples of someone or something. We can choose who we follow and who we become disciples of, or we can just let it happen to us. We can be formed without even realizing it. Now, I find this diagram really helpful. You know, if there's a diamond in the middle there that's kind of you and I. And it's our formation. It's who we become over a period of time. So you're there, I'm there, sitting in that diamond, if you like. And then there are four things that push and pull on us, that form us over time. All we have to do is get up in the morning. We don't even have to do anything. And these four kind of forces, these four areas will begin to shape and form us. Now the first one at the top there is our stories and beliefs. And we all carry stories, we all carry beliefs with us to help us make sense of the world. This is why books and films and plays are so important to us as human beings. We carry these stories, these beliefs with us. Our politics, the theories about the world that we carry, our attitudes. All these things form us into who we become. You know, if you think about the recent pandemic, this just showed us this in a real clear way, didn't it? People's attitudes, their stories, their beliefs that they carried towards the pandemic were whether they chose to stay in or not. There are some people who said, yeah, I'm going to stay in. I believe this is dangerous. Some people said, well, actually, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to go out. Whether we chose to wear a mask or not, or whether we resisted that, whether we chose to get a vaccine or not. It's all about our stories and beliefs that we held, formed us during that time. Our stories and beliefs shape and form us. Our habits do as well. Now, there's so much study done on the power of habits in our lives and how they form us. What we do on a regular basis is who we become. So if you're in the habit of going to the gym, you will become somebody who's fit. If you're in the habit of smoking, that's going to form you in a certain way. Our habits shape and form us. And the studies show that the things we do on a regular basis have an impact on our limbic system in our brains. Our limbic system is what controls our behaviour and our loves and our emotions. And the things we do on a regular basis form, take shape in our limbic system and literally shape and form us from the inside out. Our habits form us. Our relationships and our environment, both physical and digital, shape and form us. We become like who we spend time with. I wonder if you've had that in your life with people you're particularly close to. You start to talk like them. You start to dress the same likes and dislikes. And we become like the place we live in. We become like the place we call home as well. Now here in Frinton on the North Essex coast, we live in a particularly middle class area, maybe even upper class for some of us. And so that will shape our attitudes, our expectations for what home life should look like, what our home should look like, what a car we should drive, what holidays we go on. All shaped by what the people around us are doing, what our environment is like. It will shape even our politics too. Our home, where we live, shapes us and forms us. And our digital environment as well, and those people we meet online. Whether we know it or not, there are certain algorithms unique to each one of us that particularly social media companies have, which means we just see more of what we like. So our online world becomes a bit of an echo chamber and just reinforcing and reinforcing and reinforcing beliefs that we already hold and that we've clicked on. Now, if you haven't seen it, watch the documentary, The Social Experiment, which just digs into that idea. We are shaped and formed by our relationships and our environment, both online and offline. And our experiences too, and you will know this, the good and the bad that's happened to us and everything in between has a habit of forming us and shaping us. Stuff that is a long time in the past, things that are happening to us now and in the future. The good and the not so good form and shape us. And over a long period of time, over a lifetime, these things will shape and form us and push and pull on us. And all we have to do is to get up. Romans 12 says, don't be transformed in this way, but allow God, by the transformation of your mind, shape and form you. It's good to be aware of these things. But there's an alternative. Because we can become like Jesus when we surrender to him. So rather than allowing our culture and our world to shape and form us, we can surrender to Jesus. And there are certain practices that we can put in place in our lives that allow him to shape and form us, as opposed to that other diagram. See, this diagram here shows us a different paradigm of how we can become like Jesus. So rather than our stories and beliefs shaping us that we hold, we can put spiritual disciplines and Bible teaching in place that shapes and forms us. You know, spiritual disciplines, new habits instead of our old ones, like silence and solitude, like Sabbath and fasting and prayer and generosity, that we can put in place in our lives, that work their way into our thinking, into our limbic system, a real renewing of the mind, that teach us a new way to live. I'm not going to go into too much detail into our spiritual disciplines today, because later on in the year we're going to do a sermon series looking at spiritual disciplines and what they can be in our lives. And our teaching as well. We looked at this last week, learning Jesus' teaching, learning what he's passionate about. Learning what drives him as a man in the Gospels gives us that firm and deep foundation in our lives. Have a look at last week and what we looked at there that can show how teaching can shape and form us. You'll notice that our experiences are still there. That God can use our experiences in life, the good and the bad, to shape and form us. Now it says in James chapter 1 that we're to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now did you hear what it says there? Let perseverance finish its work. Allow it to form us. Allow it to train us to become more like Jesus. Our experiences God can use as a catalyst for change in our lives. And there's community as well. Notice it's community rather than our relationships this time. You know, because a community is a group of people that we find ourselves amongst. Relationships are the people we tend to choose to be part of our lives. Whereas a community are people that we find ourselves amongst. And that's key here, because that is church. You know, we cannot follow Jesus on our own. Nobody can. Jesus had disciples. He didn't have a disciple. And he formed a community around him and around the other disciples because he knows that a community of people can help form us to become like him. Just as today we find ourselves in church communities. It's hard. Being part of a church community is hard work because we find ourselves amongst people who look different to us, who have different beliefs and stories that they carry, who see the world in different ways, but it is so worth it. You know, over the years I've found that a community of people that I'm a part of in church, it exposes me. You know, it's like squeezing a sponge. That what's on the inside comes out. That's what happens in church and in community, doesn't it? Who we really are begins to show itself when we're in a community of people who we love and who love us. You know, marriage does this, doesn't it? You know, I love taking people through marriage prep and marriage classes. It's amazing because, you know, we chat to people who are just engaged and, you know, they think, well, they're okay. You know, they think that they're patient, they think they're generous, they think they're giving. And then suddenly they get married and kind of weeks or months in they think, oh man, I'm selfish. And suddenly they're living a life with someone, sharing a home with someone. And it exposes them for who they really are. Now Jesus has planned it. And he says, if you want to become like me, be part of a community of people who will show you who you really are. But alongside that, alongside the exposure that community gives us, community also gives us encouragement. And we need that if we're going to be exposed for who we really are. Because what we don't want is kind of for it to be shown who we really are and then people just to walk away. But a community can also encourage us. A group of people who don't condemn us, but who say, we see what God is doing in you. We see the change that he's bringing in your life. And we say yes to that. And we want to encourage that. And we want to pray for you and cheer you on as you become like the person that God is making you to be. God, Jesus uses community to help us to become like him. I love what it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's a picture of exposure and encouragement, isn't it? Considering how we can spur each other on. As they're exposed for who they are. Encouraging one another. But not giving up as well. You know, community, real community, if it's going to help us to become like Jesus, is consistent. It's not just here one minute and gone the next. It's with a group of people who don't give up. You know, one of the ways that we do that here at the Free is through our Connect groups. These small groups that meet during the week. This is how community can really happen. It's hard to happen when there's hundreds of us on a Sunday. But a group of people, you know, 7, 8, 9 people who we meet with every week for a few hours on a regular basis is how Jesus can shape and form us. How we can be exposed, how our character can be dealt with, but also how we can be encouraged as well. You know, Jesus, they estimate, you know, he must have spent about 8 hours a day with his disciples for 3 years in a little community with them. If that's the truth, he would have spent over 8,000 hours with them over those 3 years. And they still had gaps in their characters. They still had gaps in their beliefs. You know, if we really wanted to become like Jesus, 1 hour a week on a Sunday, being in church together isn't going to be enough. We need a community of people who are committed to us, who aren't going to give up meeting with us, who are going to help us, expose us for who we are, but encourage us along the way. If you're not part of a Connect group, I'd love you to contact us at the church and we can help find one for you over the coming weeks. We're really going to be looking at this and building new Connect groups of people together so we can become like Jesus through those groups. And finally, in that diagram, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we want to become like Jesus, we need to surrender to him. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that allows this to happen. As we practice that first goal that we had a few weeks ago of being with Jesus, it's his Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, as he's sometimes called in the Bible, who we encounter. And it's him that becomes our dominant reality, not our stories and our beliefs, not our habits, not our experiences or our environment, but the Holy Spirit who becomes our dominant reality as we spend time with Jesus. It's the baseline for any transformational work in our lives. If we want that metamorphosis to take place in our lives, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that allows that to happen. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul's writing to the church and he says, keep in step with the Spirit. And then a few sentences later he says, be led by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. As we walk through life, as we travel through life, that we're in step with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in our lives, that we're being led by him every moment, every minute of the day, practicing the presence of Jesus and knowing his Holy Spirit with us. You know, this is so much more than just the zappy experience of the Holy Spirit. This is a lifetime of walking with him, of allowing him to shape and mold us. You know, sometimes I think there's, within church life, we can sometimes be guilty of selling something different. And we'll say to people, you know, we'll preach or we'll teach and we'll say to people, if you want to become like Jesus, just come down the front just for this once. And all you need is one dose of the Holy Spirit. All you need is one experience and one prayer. And you'll become like Jesus. That's not true, is it? Now, I remember a few years ago, one of my children wanting to learn to skateboard. And I remember we bought her the skateboard and she started going up and down the patio or outside the house on this. And she kept falling over and getting back up and kept falling over and getting back up on it. Now, what I could have done is said to her, you know, Josie, I want you to become great at the skateboard. So let me just pray for you. And we could have prayed, God, make Josie good at skateboard. And it could have been a miracle in her life. And I believe in that. And I think that does happen sometimes for some people, that they have that moment with Jesus and they're changed and they're transformed. But more often than not, it's the daily walk that changes. Josie had to get on it every day and practice and train. And read and watch YouTube videos and expose herself to people on skateboard so she'd become good at the skateboard. I think that's more what God does in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit. A lifetime of daily allowing him to come and shape us and mold us into who he wants us to be. A lifetime of us saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and change me. His refining fire, his sanctifying work in our lives. You know, one part of the Bible, it talks about us being like clay in the potter's hands. That's not just a moment, is it? That's careful shaping and moulding and turning of a person to help us to become the people Jesus wants us to be over a lifetime. Yes, God can come and do change in our lives in an instant, but usually, most commonly, it's over time, bit by bit by bit, shaping and moulding us. Make time for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life if you want to become like Jesus. Make time to surrender to him. Every day, every hour, every minute. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. I can't do it without you. Is it possible for us as disciples to become like Jesus? Yeah, it's possible, but it's not inevitable. It doesn't just happen. There are other forces, there are other cultures, there's a whole world out there pushing and pulling us and wanting to form and wanting to shape us to become like the world. But surrendering ourselves to Jesus, allowing the spiritual disciplines and his teaching into our lives, allowing our God to use our experiences in our lives, allowing him to use other people in our lives, allowing him to use his Holy Spirit in our lives, is how we can become like Jesus. I want to challenge you today. Think about who you want to be in 5 years' time. Take some time this week. Just sit down. Who do I want to be in 5 years' time? Who do I want to be in 10 years' time? Now, do you like what you see? I've started to do this in my life, and I think about that. And sometimes, you know, I think, oh man, I don't like the person I'm going to become. If I just allow myself just to be shaped by the world. Say, Jesus, I need more of you. It's not inevitable that we will change and become like Jesus. But we can put certain things in place and we can allow God by his Holy Spirit to come and shape and renew him. Without him, we can't change. But without us surrendering ourselves to him, he won't change us either. Let's be disciples who choose to allow God to do the work in us that he wants to, so we can become like Jesus.